Previously on Positive Cynicism.
So as I pop up out of the water, I'm able to grab the canoe and I realize that all our equipment is still in it. How awesome is that? But then the most horrible thing happens. As I'm holding on the canoe, I see my friend that was in the front of the canoe floating past me, and he's got a look of pure terror on his face.
And now, this week's Positive Cynicism.
You ever get the feeling that everything in America is completely f***ed up?
Now, they're saying I should think stuff. Something is wrong with me.
To be so cynical.
Practice.
Thanks for listening to another edition of Positive Cynicism. Don't forget to leave us a review over at iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean, or wherever you're listening to this. Let us know where you're listening, why you're listening, and what you think of the show. And also check out the other shows here on the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network, Nerds United, Five Heart, and My 1-2-3 Cents. All good shows, all mostly coming out on a weekly basis. So follow or go to the jitterymonkey.com website, find the latest episodes, go back through the episodes that you may have missed. In fact, coinciding with this edition of Positive Cynicism, I think going back and binge listening to every Jittery Monkey podcast would be something that you could do if you have that much time. After this commercial break, we'll be right back to discuss the pros and cons of binge watching. Stay tuned.
Hi, this is Greg Mahochko, the host of Nerds United on the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. And over the years that I've been running the Nerds United show, I've been fortunate enough to speak with many of my talented friends, both artists and writers, creators of comic books. But I've also spoken with some more recognizable names in comics and entertainment. Legendary artist Greg Land. Hey, we Greg's got to stick together. Writer Colin Bunn, Rock and Roll Hall of Famer, and comic book creator DMC, Daryl McDaniels, The Flash of yesteryear, and in more recent memory, Flash's dad, John Wesley Shipp, and a lot more. And I encourage you to subscribe to the Nerds United podcast on iTunes or Stitcher, or you can check it out anytime you want on jitterymonkey.com. And as founder of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network, I really do appreciate your support. When you share a podcast, you help get our little corner of the podcasting world out to even more people. So anytime you do that, you really don't know how much we appreciate it. So share away.
Benji, the Oscar-nominated canine classic that redefined family films, restored in high definition for the first time in its original widescreen format. Told from the heart and soul of America's favorite dog. With remastered audio featuring Benji's theme song, I Feel Love.
I feel love.
Joe Camp's original movie that catapulted Benji, America's favorite acting dog, into international stardom.
Like a promise, like a song.
Benji.
And it's feel.
The family film that started it
like
all.
I knew. Where I go.
Joe Camp's original classic.
Shining down.
Completely remastered in high definition and widescreen format.
I feel love.
Benji, the original classic.
Ah, yes, Benji. What a lovable little scamp of a dog. Anyway, that's not the binge that we're going to be talking about tonight, or on this episode. I don't know why I say tonight. Like I said, time, irrelevant, doesn't matter. We're recording, you're listening later, yay. Sitting across from me for this episode, as always, on the second week of the month, again, time, irrelevancy. Because everyone here is a expert now, I have the fan expert, Eric Bennett. If you need to know an oscillating fan versus a ceiling fan versus a box fan, he's your man.
I'm your man. Thanks for having me.
Eric, so we are discussing this month a topic that is very,
I guess, relevant in today's society. The art of binge watching. Binge watching. I always feel like I'm saying the wrong word. But it's binge watching. You know, with Netflix now being a popular streaming platform, you can watch entire series, you know, multiple seasons at one time. So my question first to start off the conversation is, one, welcome to the show. And two, are you a binger?
No, proudly I'm not a binger, and I don't want to attack the bingers right off the bat, but we have to stir controversy at some point. And might as well do it right away. I am a occasional binger in the sense that I think when it first came out, it was a kind of a new thing to do. Mm-hmm. When Netflix came out, this whole idea of one, you know, string of episodes that never seemed to end, you could just keep going. And I remember doing this with The Walking Dead. I don't, obviously that wasn't a Netflix thing, I don't believe. And I would like DVR marathons, and we would just like fall into these rabbit holes. Mm. And then we get caught up, and I think I did that with Mad Men and all this. And nowadays in 2019, I'm not a binger. Like, I'm very selective because I think Netflix has a bad hit to miss ratio. So not a good batting average. So I generally give things one or two episodes. And if I like it, I try to do one a night. Mm-hmm. That's kind of bingy, or one every couple nights. Like, and we'll get into what we're watching now. But I wouldn't say I'm a Netflix binger right now. I'm pretty selective about what I watch and how much I'm watching.
Okay, yeah, and you bring up a good point that I think binging probably, I mean, Netflix popularized it, but binging probably became a thing once DVRs were popular, because mm-hmm. instead of recording on a VHS tape and only having one or two episodes and having to switch and record, if you have everything available at the press of a button, it's easier to go from one episode to the next.
Oh, yeah, and the technology of the DVR coincided with kind of this addictive, open-ended cliffhanger TV. Mm-hmm. So, like, I don't know if you would binge watch Seinfeld because one episode doesn't lead to the next. But if you're a Sopranos fan, I think that's a lot of this kicked off with that. Mm-hmm. And every episode, you're like, oh, there's another one, there's another one, there's another one. You could just DVR it and just watch it infinitely. Or at least someone tells you about it one or two years later and you just catch up. And I think there's some definite use for that. And we can get into modern-day binge watching, which seems to be Netflix tells you every day there's 10 hours of stuff out, and then you kind of arrest your life and go down the rabbit hole there in real time. And that's not what I'm into.
Okay. Yeah, I am not usually a binger, although this year I have binged more than I have probably in the last 5 years. I started off doing 8 seasons of Shameless on Netflix. Oof. There's still one season that I haven't seen because it's not up yet. And then I did 4 seasons of Gotham until I caught up with the live showing of the last season.
Mm.
And I don't know if you watch Gotham, but
I
was hate watching it by the end because that show, it gets very bad very quickly. And then I've done Kim's Convenience, which is a 3-season Canadian sitcom. And I just finished, what kind of sparred this idea is I just did 8 seasons of Game of Thrones in 3 weeks.
That's intense.
So I finished it like 2 weeks after the final episode aired.
So that's, I read somewhere it was like 3 days plus to watch them all.
It's 73 episodes, I believe.
And you did that in 21 days?
Roughly, yeah.
So 3 or 4 a night.
Yeah.
Wow, that is, I mean, did you get burned out?
I think I definitely did by season 6. I don't think I was paying as close attention in season 6 and 7. And then season 8, episodes went from 60 minutes to 80 to 90 minutes an episode. And I think there's only 8 episodes,
mm-hmm.
I believe, 7 or 8. I think I would have rather had like 9 60-minute episodes instead of 6 90-minute episodes or whatever. But, yeah, I was burnt out. And, I mean, Game of Thrones is such a dense show as well. And that's where I find, like, with the show Kim's Convenience, which is a half-hour comedy, or even Cobra Kai Season 2, which I binged when it came out, it's 10 episodes, 30 minutes each as well. So it's an easy binge. But when you're doing like Shameless and Game of Thrones, these 7-8 seasons of 60-minute episodes each or longer, you definitely get to the point where you're like, okay, enough is enough. But I, you know, real quick, Game of Thrones, try to go not too spoilery, but it's been out for a while, so get with it if we do. I don't understand why everyone was complaining about season 8 and trying to get a petition to get people to get HBO to redo it. I just, I mean, I had issues with some of the stuff, but nothing that I felt was egregious.
Yeah, I mean, I think what people complain about that is they're, and I think you were talking about, you know, all these things you're watching, and Game of Thrones, you have to pay attention to. So when you're binging it, it's not easy to go through all that material and then also focus for 3 or 4 hours in a row. So that could be a challenge. But was season 8 the newest one?
Yeah.
I posted something and I got flamed for it, saying that I actually liked it. And I liked the last episode because I felt like it was satisfying, and the characters that I didn't really want to say goodbye to were kind of still left standing for the most part. So, and I got a lot of hate for that. I got a lot of hate for not hating it. And it looks like the fans that were complaining, and I got messaged by a lot of them, were talking about how George R. R. Martin had not written the last couple of years of it, which you could have foreseen a problem right there. So once you kind of buy into that, they're making it up as they go along. That's an issue. And then all the actors are getting out of contracts and the showrunners are doing Star Wars movies. So all of this came to an head, and they had to accelerate the pacing of it. I thought the pacing of the earlier season was too slow anyway. So I'd watch 2 or 3 episodes in like season 5, and like not a lot was happening. So I don't mind a quicker pace to the stuff. I felt like 3 days plus or whatever it is, 70 episodes, that's enough to tell a story. I mean, people complain about sequels and there's 20 something Marvel movies or whatever, but look how many Game of Thrones, there's, you know, 70-80 hours, whatever it is. I mean, how much do you need to tell a story? So I was ready to move on from it. I thought they did a pretty good job wrapping it up, and I'm kind of glad that all that disappointment that fans feel like they suffered is fading away.
Yeah, and we were discussing before we went on started recording about fans just seemingly wanting to hate these days. And no one is satisfied with anything. So I think any last episode probably, or last season, probably would not have satisfied. And like you said, there is no source material for this show to go off of. So I'm curious, once Martin writes the last book, if he'll stick to the same events happening, or if he's got a different ending in mind, which someone who reads the book will have to tell me, because I'm not going to read it. But
oh yeah, I know. I actually brought that up to a few fans online. I said, didn't he advise the showrunner? Because apparently he kind of weighed in, as he should, on what direction it should go. And there wasn't much of a response to that when I asked people. It's like they didn't want to acknowledge that he was involved. But they did like the books, and I can respect that. But I mean, I saw Harry Potter go on and on. This thing went on and on forever. And I think you got to realize the ride's going to end at some point. And there's some, and this goes back to your binge, the overall binge thing, is that how long, like the BBC will basically tell a story in 2 or 3 years. For whatever reason, we've gotten this new thing where I think people expect this experience to go on infinitely and stay at a high level. And when it dips, it completely crushes them or lets them down. And A, should you really be watching this many shows all the time? We can get into that. And B, if they don't turn out exactly the way you envision, that doesn't mean it's a failure. So I noticed this with the Star Wars fans. The Star Wars fans turned on the franchise. I noticed this with the new Godzilla movie. So-called Godzilla fans are starting to complain about that. Game of Thrones fans turned on Game of Thrones. People that watch Sopranos complain about the last episode. People that watch Lost complain about the last I actually watched Seinfeld. I didn't think the last episode of that was very good. I've seen so many bad last episodes. I don't think it invalidates the entire series. That's a whole new podcast. But I will say, with the binge watching, it's a quantity over quality argument. So just be happy you're having these characters in your life, and then at some point they're going to go away, and it may not go the way you think. And just get ready for it. It's not that big of a deal.
I agree. And one of the issues with binge watching is, you know, I've had this discussion before about, I have a hard time sitting down and watching a 2 or 3 hour movie. But Game of Thrones, I was watching 4 or 5 episodes a day on the weekend, you know, 3 at night. And watching Avengers Endgame, I'm like, wow, this would have been a really good series.
Yeah.
I thought the movie was too long and too much packed into it. But if you'd broken it down into hour long episodes, probably would have flowed better, even if you just, you know, cut it in thirds.
Yeah, that's actually a really good point, because now you got me thinking about The Mandalorian, and that could be a really good test on how a Star Wars movie chops up. And, like, is there enough material there? Does it work better to tell a story over a longer period of time? I'll have to watch for that one.
And so, yeah, that's my, I was going to say, is it easier to watch more content in bite-sized chunks, if you will, as opposed to watching an entire story and film-wise, because you can pause, you know, when the episode ends, if you need a pause, you can do so and come back without missing anything. And it's just easier to absorb the material instead of keeping a focus for 2.5-3 hours at one time.
Yeah, I think that's a good question. I think the newness of some of the really high-budget TV that's hasn't been around super long, and people talk about we're in the golden age of television, I actually think that's winding down. But I noticed that with The Sopranos, it kicked it off, and these kind of look like movies. Mm-hmm. Like you said, they were chopped up. And I think people are getting a little tired of the movie format, in that it's not the length that's so hard to hold your attention. It's the fact that it's like so conventional, the storytelling. We've seen it so many times, this three-act story where, like, you set up characters, you give them a conflict, and they resolve the conflict. And with episodic TV, you don't have to play by those rules. So that has one major advantage. You could have one episode where you just go off and play with one character that you haven't seen for a while. And Game of Thrones does that. You have one episode of Game of Thrones where it's just a battle. You have another episode where they're plotting. So it has the advantage of where it doesn't have those expectations where it has to start and stop something in 2 hours, which makes the audience just kind of go, okay, I've seen this before. Like, I know where this is going. So that there is an unexpected pathway with television shows that's really an advantage. And I think that's what's hooking people, is that episodic TV can be different week to week or show to show if you're recording it. However, I'll make the quality argument that the quality is also being chopped up as well. So it doesn't, even though they're doing different things, it doesn't always hold my interest. So I really judge every one of these episodes. I think we're lowering our expectations. So when you watch Game of Thrones and you know you have 50 more, you're probably like, well, I've already gone this far, I might as well finish it. So there's a completionist thing. Mm-hmm. And I think we can get to that later as well, which I'm not sure is completely healthy if they're watching something you're not really into.
Yeah, and I've tried watching Arrested Development a few times. Mm-hmm. And the last time I did it, I was like, no, I'm going to finish at least one season. But I got 11 episodes in or something like that. I'm just like, why am I watching this? I'm not enjoying it. You know, and plus, I watched it like 10 years after it aired or, you know, long enough that where all the people on the show have now gone on to be known actors. And so you just see like, oh, there's Michael Cera. There's, you know, Will Arnett. You don't see them as the characters as you would have had you first watched the show. And same way with Breaking Bad. Like, I tried 4 or 5 episodes. And I just could not get into it.
Mm.
Now, the other aspect, and you kind of touch on this a little bit, is I feel that our society is moving into a disposable society where everything gets recycled, everything just gets used and tossed away.
Yeah.
You know, we update phones every 2 or 3 years. We update computers every 2 or 3 years. Dating apps have, you know, you just change out. Is binge watching doing that to quality shows where you'll watch something and you like it while you're watching it, but once that season's over, and especially since Netflix has a new show coming out like almost weekly now, a new movie, you finish something and then you move on immediately to something else. You don't give that show time to really resonate with you.
Yeah, and I would say that the quality of the Netflix shows doesn't substantiate the amount of time invested. So, I mean, can you name like 10 Netflix shows or even 5 that are classics? Like 20 years from now, we'll be talking about them. I mean, I think Game of Thrones may be up there, and I know that's on HBO, but I actually like Handmaid's Tale. I think that'll be around for a while, but there's some stuff where I'm watching, and this goes to your disposable thing, where I'm like, it's about the new, and this stuff isn't going to hold up because it doesn't hold up my attention when I'm watching it. So I'm actually watching the OA season 2, and that was really interesting, and I think that's going to be around. So I'm not always evaluating whether or not it's going to be a classic because that's hard to predict, but I do worry that it just stands to reason that the more stuff you crank out, the lower the quality bar is, because there's only so many great, and there could be some really good artists that we haven't heard from, I'm sure there is, but there's only so much stable of people you can always have making stuff, and if they make it in the hundreds or whatever productions, I'm pretty sure the quality bar is going to be lowered, you know, because some of the stuff is getting rushed, and obviously with some of the Netflix Marvel stuff, it was awful. Like, the quality was out the window. And that was coming from Marvel overseeing some of it. So, yeah, I'm not sure the stuff coming out, to your point, that's new is really that good or going to be that memorable.
Well, and with the amount of newness that is out there, you also take into account, and I think, I can't remember if you and I discussed this on the last episode you were on, or if it was Travis Yates and I discussing it on one of his episodes, but the shared experience is gone. Because, like, Game of Thrones, everyone was watching that last season because it had gotten so popular.
Yeah.
But if a show now comes out and is new, does everybody latch on at the same time? And then you get that shared experience, or is it staggered? And, you know, I might watch a show as soon as it pops up on Netflix or Hulu or whatever. You might not watch it for another 3 or 4 months down the road when you finish whatever you're watching now. Mm-hmm. And then you're like, oh my gosh, did you see this show? And I'm like, well, yeah, I saw that 4 months ago. Now, you know, I'm already 3 shows deep into something else. So is that an experience too, where by binging, yes, you get that initial rush when it's done, but then you have nothing to talk about the next, you know, after that first weekend.
Yeah, and again, I'll just go back to the basic argument, which is like, are these shows worth binging in the sense that if you watch a couple of them, do you really need to watch them all at once? I actually find that spacing out the shows, so like once a week is probably too long if you really are hooked on something, but I kind of like, I'm alternating about 3 or 4 different television shows, and I try to watch them every few days to keep it kind of fresh, to keep a balance. There's only been a few recently where I've just torn through them. Like, Black Mirror is out, season 5. I can't wait to watch that. But I'll probably watch one a night. I don't know if that qualifies as binging or not. I think what you talked about with Game of Thrones is binging, which you watch 3 or 4. Mm-hmm. Like I said, I did that with... You know what's odd is that I actually did this before Netflix, where I would binge watch Star Trek, the original series, and all the Twilight Zones. Mm-hmm. And I would create a spreadsheet or Kubrick movies. I just wanted to see the whole run of it. And that was really exciting because I was able to piece it together on my time. But we're in a different binge mode now where everyone's just trying to keep up. It's like a horse race or something. Like, everyone's trying to keep up. Mm-hmm. And like you said, if your friend's seeing it before you, maybe you don't talk about it. Maybe he's on or she's on another 2 or 3 shows. So, like, it's almost like a race. And Netflix is creating this nonstop race to just keep watching stuff as fast as possible.
Yeah. And I wonder if Netflix is what their motive is or... you know, business model, because are they doing it, one, to amp up the Netflix original stuff so that when, like, Disney's launching their own streaming service, so they're going to be pulling all their stuff off at the end of the year. If these other, I believe NBC, Comcast Universal is launching a streaming service, so will they pull content from Netflix? So at some point, will Netflix only be Netflix original? So they're trying to get the market already stuffed so that when that happens, there's still plenty of content there.
Yeah, I mean, and I don't know, this could sound really controversial, but do we want a society where, like, all we have is endless content? Because this has been joked about in movies like WALL-E, with us kind of sitting around floating and just watching stuff and screwing around all day. Like, is binge-watching even a good thing? Mm-hmm. Like, so if I presented you there's a top 100 shows that run for a number of years... We could say the Jeffersons, All in the Family, a lot of the classics. Mm-hmm. Would you just binge watch that and then also try to keep up with Netflix? Would you try to keep up with Hulu? Try to keep up with Amazon? Mm-hmm. Apple's coming out with stuff.
Yeah.
And then obviously Disney's launching. Is there any line you draw? For me, I'm constantly drawing that line because, and believe me, I'm a couch potato with the best of them, but I have to do a little bit of gaming, a little bit of book reading, comic book reading. I love going to movies. We've talked about that. That's another thing we could talk about with binge watching, how that takes away social experiences, and we're just kind of a la carting endless amounts of entertainment. So I actually don't think the binge watching is, and I'll render a judgment here, I don't think it's necessarily a really good thing. It's good if you're hooked on the show.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's worth it if you're hooked on that show.
Yeah. I mean, after watching Game of Thrones, I am now, because we're recording this on a Wednesday night, I finished Game of Thrones on Sunday.
Mm.
I watched about 4 episodes of Silicon Valley since then, but every time I've started to watch something serious, like non-sports related, I'll get like 10 minutes into it, and then I just have to stop. I can't, my attention is not there for another show. Like, I need to decompress. I need to do something. I should be reading. I should, you know, working out, whatever. Just something besides sitting in front of a television. And part of that is because Game of Thrones was just so intense. And I think that's the difference between, you know, if I you know, a few years ago, I did the entire run of Friends on Netflix. I helped that I was unemployed at the time, so I had all day to do it.
Yeah.
So, but it's still, that was like 10 seasons in 2 weeks of, you know, a half hour show, and that's 26 episodes or 22. But I think those are lighter, and plus, having already seen most of them, I didn't have to pay the attention that I did to Game of Thrones. But yeah, I don't think it is healthy to sit and binge watch. And I tried doing some research before we recorded just to see what type of studies had been done. And there are differing opinions out there. But I think mostly it's just binging is... it takes away from... Or can, I don't want to say necessarily, because everybody may be different, but it can take away like social interactions with people because you're so wrapped up in the show. Like, I actually went to see Aladdin last Saturday.
What did you think?
I walked out after an hour.
Okay. I was so scared to see that movie based on the trailers.
It was a free screening. I will say it's not as bad as I was expecting, but if you've seen Aladdin, you've seen this movie. And we can go into how Disney really needs to stop remaking all their movies if all they're going to do is do pretty much shot-for-shot remakes.
Yeah.
But I was like, I don't want to be here. And I was only there because that was the only time I could see it for free.
Yeah.
But I was like, I don't want to be here. I want to be watching Game of Thrones. I want to finish this series. Because it became a challenge to be like, okay, by this date, I'm going to be done. So I think that's also another issue with binge watching are you binging because you're enjoying the show, or are you binging on a time crunch? Like you said, if I'm watching it because I want to hurry up and talk about it with people while they're still talking about it, while it's still fresh in their mind, I think that devalues the content as well, because you're not embracing it. You're not captivated by it.
No, I agree. And I think there's a couple different ways to approach it. So let's take the word binging. So binging, it's odd how that's been reframed to be a positive thing, because the traditional way that word's used and in society, it's not really a positive thing. So if you binge drink, if you binge eat, if you binge sex, like these are addictions that can binge gamble. There's people that watch sports too much. I used to be one of those guys as well. Where, like, I know people that watch the NFL, and they'll watch every game on the weekend, regardless if their team is playing or not. And I'm like, oh, my God. Like, that was, like, 10 hours of your day there. And then I realized I had some addictions because I, like, binge game. But the difference is, not to make myself seem better, but the difference is when I binge something, it's because it is so captivating. I can't wait to see the next one. And you may have gotten that. Some of the Game of Thrones episodes are really good, and I was happy seeing it a bunch of times in a row. I'm okay with that. Because that has a pretty high quality mark. There's another thing I'll bring up, though, is that there's a sameness that sets in, though. That's the problem. So what if you binge but at a slower pace? So if you said, I'm going to watch Game of Thrones over the course of 6 months and watch it, and then maybe the episodes don't seem so similar because you're not doing four of them in a row. I found this with Walking Dead. I'd watch Walking Dead. I'm like, okay, how many times are the zombies going to bust out and they're going to slowly get away from them? And I would get kind of irritated, and then I would give it a rest, and then I'd wait a week, and then I'd watch it again, and I really enjoyed it more. So it's almost like you need to come up for air once in a while. And I'm not seeing a lot of that happening now, but I'm hoping this is a fad. It seems to be growing, but it could burn out because people will be like, you know, this isn't good for me. Who knows?
Yeah. And I think shows aren't necessarily meant to be seen, as we were discussing earlier, watching as a movie. They're meant to be episodic and leave you hanging, wanting more, where you wait a week to see it.
Yeah.
And so, and then especially like Gotham, for example, every episode is pretty much very repetitive, as a lot of television is. So if you watch it weekly, episode one, let's say episode six from season one, by the time you get to episode six of season five, that's 5 years have passed. You're not thinking about them in context. Whereas when you watch five seasons in 2 weeks, you're like, well, this episode is just like this episode, which is just like this episode, because it's still all fresh in the mind. And then I think that, you know, probably dilutes the quality of, or perception of quality, because you're just like, oh, they're just telling the same story over and over again.
yeah, that, there's that, and there's also, I think you brought up a good point too about like, what if these things are engineered to kind of give you a little bit of a cliffhanger from time to time, but if you just play the next one, that doesn't set in, so you're losing this huge effect, which is like, and of course the most famous example would probably be The Empire Strikes Back. So, you know, Disney's pumping out Star Wars movies. They're pumping the brakes now, which is probably smart. But they're pumping them out where we're getting one or two a year, and Marvel's pumping out three or four a year. And what happens with Empire Strikes Back is they leave you on this this terrible cliffhanger, and then I don't know if it's 2 or 3 years later, Return of the Jedi comes out.
3 years, yeah.
And, I mean, imagine how much suffering we went through thinking about this.
Especially in a pre-internet age where we didn't know they were making, you know, the movie or the backstory or hearing who they were signing on or...
Yeah, this is for the younger viewers out there, younger listeners out there. Think about stewing on that gigantic thing for like 36 months in a row.
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty tough. And I think what's lost, again, with some of these things is that if you watch it, something dramatic happens and then you just launch the next one and the previous thing hasn't set in yet. So sometimes that weekly thing is actually pretty cool. So when I caught up with Walking Dead, and you could have got to this place with Game of Thrones, you would have started earlier, you would have been current, and I know you've done this, you would have been current at some point. That's actually kind of cool when you do your backstory, and then I did this with Breaking Bad for the first couple of years. Then I started watching week to week, and I was always excited to see what happened that week. And then I got to breathe, and then I got to see the next week. So binging was almost like a chore. Like, have you ever binge-watched something that felt like a chore? You know, like you were just checking something off.
Yeah, like I said, Gotham by the end. I was hate watching it. So, but I was like, I've gotten this far. I'm going to finish it. It's the last season.
And how you can protect against that, and I've learned this for myself, is that I give every show one or two max. Mm-hmm. And then only if people batter on me and go, Eric, you got to hold out for three or four. And I, you know, everyone always tells you that. Like, just wait till season two or three to get. First off, don't tell me I have to wait 10 hours for something to get good. I don't need to wait 10 hours. There's plenty of shows on. I can just, okay, you waited 10 hours, good for you. But this probably happened with you Breaking Bad. I would have said you should have waited till season two. Season one isn't very good.
That's what I've heard.
And I was like, why am I watching this? And then I'm really glad I held on. Didn't have a great ending either, actually, by the way. But I would just say, and we talked about this before, that things are in balance. So I'm finding, and I think I mentioned Godzilla, that I just saw this recently, the new one, King of the Monsters. And I'm liking the social aspect, and that's another binge-watching detriment, is that it's fun talking about the water cooler about these shows, so that's a plus, but you're still watching it on your sofa, so it's not that cool or interesting to be doing that. It's just like something you just keep firing up on your TV. And what I really like reading on the internet is that people were going to bars and restaurants for Game of Thrones viewing parties. That actually made me feel good about it. Like, hey, if you're going to watch this every week, get together with friends.
Yeah.
And I had people contact me to come over to my house. So that's one positive.
Yeah, I actually had a coworker who was in Mexico for a wedding when the last episode aired, and the bride and groom had coordinated a viewing party in Mexico. They had like a big inflatable screen, showed it, and just people showed up to watch.
Wow, that's interesting. I can interpret that a number of ways. I don't want to be snarky. That's cool, though, they considered their that so many people, I don't know, it was 15 to 20 million people watched it. So... Yeah. I did find it interesting that when that show went off the air, all the promos that HBO was running was about how many bazillion shows they have coming up.
Yeah.
They're nervous. And think about, I read that this article that said that Netflix may lose 30% of its subscribers to Disney. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're entering a very unparalleled age where, like, they've shown us some movies where, like, there's little tiles on your screen, and anything you can think of, you can go down that rabbit hole.
Yeah.
It's pretty crazy.
Yeah, it will be interesting to see how the Disney streaming affects Netflix, and again, with other studios possibly launching their own streaming services, how that will affect. Going back to what you were saying about things setting in, it just hit me as an example, is professional wrestling, where in the Attitude Era, in the late 90s, and even today, Crash TV became a hot topic because they were, during the Monday Night War, they didn't want fans to switch over to the other show between WCW and WWF.
Mm.
And so you had to, you know, each segment had to have something happen. And now it's like somebody will get beat up, laid out, massive attack, and then they immediately cut to like backstage to talk to someone else or do that. And there's no lingering to let that effect set in. And it's just like, oh, okay. So does it really matter that the person got beat up or because when they come back to the ring, they're going to be gone, and your next segment's going in. So the same way with with these shows, which, you know, I like we've mentioned Walking Dead, Breaking Bad, Game of Thrones are probably the most, the dramas are the more intensive, I guess.
Yeah.
Is way, because, I mean, I've watched, binge watched, like I say, Cobra Kai, The Ranch on Netflix, and even like the first season of Fuller House. Not much is happening, especially in Fuller House. The Ranch, I actually like as a good show that does build from episode to episode. But yes, if you don't give that time to set in and really absorb it to be like, oh my gosh, okay, Jon Snow's dead or the Red Wedding happened, you're just like, okay, next, and you see the continuation, then it goes back
to that was your experience. So it's a perfect argument for it. So look at the way HBO had it, where Game of Thrones was on every Sunday. Everyone's off on Sunday. Mm-hmm. There's some dogs in the background there. NFL did this very successfully, where they turned the weekend into a holiday, mm-hmm. where people would just kind of party and drink and get together with friends, which the getting together with friends thing is very cool, and Game of Thrones became that. So would Game of Thrones have landed if every one of those things where someone gets their head cut off or killed, you kind of saw that, go, wow, I can't believe it, and then you fired up the next one. This is what you were doing.
Yeah.
Once I got caught up, I had to stew a week on it, and that was very exciting. So there's some to be... I wish the binging, the binge technology was there. You're the customer. It's good that you have it. Mm-hmm. But I also wish that they would stagger the releases and say, this is Black Mirror, Game of Thrones, or whatever it is. And then week two, we're going to release this one. Week three, maybe release a couple in a week. And then give that build, that crescendo. Yeah. And then once the season's out, publish them all. But I don't like the idea of them just all pooping it out at once.
Well, yeah,
it devalues the experience.
Yeah. Well, HBO, Showtime, your cable shows do that once a week. Hulu, I believe, releases their shows on a weekly schedule.
Oh, good.
I know, I think season three of Handmaid's Tale just started the night before we record this. And I think they put up the first three episodes.
Oh, it's out?
Yeah.
Ooh, okay.
Yes, Netflix, I got something to watch. Netflix is just like, here's a bunch of shows. And then, like, a week later, here's a bunch more shows. And here's again, it goes back to the amount of content that Netflix is putting out there to where they're just like, I think they want you to binge watch so that you move on to the next and the next. Whereas other shows, like HBO, probably want you to wait a week because you'll keep subscribing.
They may not have the budgets. Yeah. I think Netflix is kind of overspending to create... And they're very successful in creating this perception of endless value. Mm-hmm. So this is the whole thing about content and value. And people like stuff for free, or there's perception they're getting a lot of stuff for not a lot of money. Because Netflix doesn't charge that much. I mean, think about how much you get out of it and how much you're actually spending. So you're getting like 100 movies worth of stuff and you're spending $15 a month. So I think that ties into why so many people are watching this stuff is they're like, I can watch anything I want. And they've never considered, this is the Jurassic Park thing, should I be doing this? Mm-hmm. Is this even a good idea to begin with? I don't think so. In fact, Netflix is losing a lot of licenses. They're losing Marvel. They're losing Disney. They don't put up a lot of older movies. So what value do they have? They have value in the stuff they're making, but what if their stuff they're making isn't very good? Then you got to go to another source. So I could see in the future where you have 10 subscriptions and you might get value. I'm gonna get Disney November 12th. I think I'm gonna get a tremendous amount of value for that. And then I'm gonna be like, wait, now what? And then I have to go to Netflix, see what do they have. And I mean, do we have a future in 10 years where there's just unlimited options? Is that good? I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's good if you give me the older stuff. And that's one of my problems with Netflix is it seems like every time I want to watch a certain older movie, anytime I want to watch a movie. They never have it.
They never have it. They used to always have it.
Yeah. And even like looking at HBO Go now and their on-demand offerings, there's very little from over 10, 15 years ago.
Yeah.
And it's usually like the big films. So if you can give me a streaming service that gives me give me the 80s channel and give me every 80s movie.
Yeah.
I will subscribe to that yearly and put down a down payment for the next 50 years.
And I think that's what's so funny about, they always try to, bury basic cable. But I'm frequently going, what does TNT have? They're running every Star Wars or every Star Trek movie or every Rocky. I'm like, now I own a lot of this stuff, but I'm frequently Scarface, and I'm like, man, they always show like all the stuff I want to watch. And, you know, it is vintage stuff, like you're saying, 80s, 90s, whatever it is. And then I go to Netflix, and I'm like, oh, cool. There's this new show about dating in 2019. Lame. And to each his own, I think Netflix is catering to a younger audience that is plugged in. And I'm going to sound like an old man, so what I am. That's plugged in and wants everything a la carte and instant. Because everyone growing up now wants everything at the push of a button. Mm-hmm. Even they want their experiences curated on demand instantaneously. It's just not, I wouldn't use the word entitled, but it's like, I want to, we all dream about a world where we could just point to something and just have it. Yeah. But is what we're getting that good? If it's brand new, I'd say no. If it's a combination, that's why I have all these services subscribed to and beyond. And I also have a movie of a library of 600 movies and television shows. So I go to movies all the time for new stuff too. Cause none of these things by themselves really form the ultimate compendium of what I like.
Yeah, it's my problem. We're going to get off topic here for a second. My problem with Netflix too is, you know, I remember the days of going to the video store,
mm-hmm.
finding a rare gem or something out of the ordinary was easier at the video store. Finding something new that I want to watch that I don't know about on Netflix, because the way the algorithm works or whatever, you're trying to look for something and it either shows you everything that's new from Netflix, because obviously they're trying to pick their own stuff, or it's just like stuff that I don't really care about. Like, you have to dig deep to find, less popular offerings.
Yeah, so for you, unless you start watching every 80s movie, it may not suggest Karate Kid to you, or some 80s movie, like, you know, maybe you have never seen Top Gun before. And then maybe you look for it and look for it, it's not even there. So I think it really is catering. They're conditioning the audience and they're catering to a new audience. I wouldn't say necessarily all young, because they have some really, like, I'm watching the David Letterman show on Netflix. So I'm actually in a good, with all the complaining I'm doing, I'm actually in a good rhythm with Netflix. We can talk about that for a minute, where I just finished the OA season 2. Watched that in took me about a month, because that's a hard show to get into. And then once it gets going, I'm like, okay, I'll watch one a night. I'm watching Ash versus Evil Dead, because they published an older season. That's really cool. And then David Letterman has his new season of Interviews, because I'm a huge David Letterman fan. So I found myself kind of watching all kinds of stuff. And then there's some stuff that my wife watches that I'm not into, and she's binging that right now as we do the podcast. So I'm actually in a good mood with Netflix right now, but I could just... Black Mirror is out. I'm going to watch that. But for older stuff, it's not there. They've really weaned that stuff off. Just lost the licensing. So I'm looking forward to Disney coming up, because I'm binging The Mandalorian. I will proudly binge that. I may watch all of that in one day.
Hey. Yeah, I don't know how many episodes that is supposed to be, but I'm curious to see that myself. And I will recommend on Netflix, if you have not watched the Norm Macdonald show.
Excellent show.
Which, unfortunately, I think they canceled already, but...
What? They did?
I think so. I could be wrong, but...
Oh. But wow, that show was really funny and probably cost them nothing. Yeah. Nice move, Netflix.
Well, you know, we have to have... I don't know what Netflix offer. I have nothing to counterbalance
that. Yeah, he's an older comedian. Maybe it's not as appealing.
Yeah, well, I think Norm is very...
He's an
acquired taste. Yeah. Like, he's not very broad.
Yeah.
So... Yeah, that's why I loved at the end when he would have people, when he'd do the jokes and the comedians would just look at him like, what are you, like, guest? Yeah. Anyway, yeah, I don't know. Binge watching, I think it's going to be here for a while at least, because there are so many. I think our society moves more towards the streaming platform, which we're already there, but it will be interesting to see in a few years, because everybody has been complaining about, or a lot of people have been complaining about cable prices being too high. And now that we get all these streaming sites, which will probably eventually add up to more than what the cable price was if you subscribe to all of them. But when you have all those options, like you said, at the push of a button, will it actually, you know, and then you factor in too, if I am watching something and I want food, I can order that off my computer. If I want groceries, or, you know, I need toothpaste or toilet paper, I can order that off my computer. I never have to leave the house in order to have any type of, I don't want to say interaction, because you do have to leave the house to have interaction, but I don't need to, I can survive living in my house.
Well, you could get a work at home job, like some people I know in the tech industry. So then what you can do is you can be on your screen all day working. Then once you get off work, or maybe just watch television while you're at work. I actually know people have done that. Then watch TV and then go to sleep and then just repeat that. And then on the weekend, I would say go see a movie. Maybe you can just stay indoors and watch more stuff. I'm not sure where this is going. It's a huge societal whine that I'm having, but I've been pushing, as hopefully dedicated listeners will know, about getting out and seeing movies, because it's a social experience. And it's not about, hey, get out there, you'll make friends. But I go to conventions and I talk to people at movie theaters and I actually make friends with some of them. So I'd say go out. You know, this summer in Los Angeles is basically here. And now the outdoor movie season, I don't know if you heard, the Alamo Draft House is like almost ready. I had no idea. They just emailed me.
Oh, I knew that they were supposed to be opening, but I've never heard any more about it.
So all those lucky bastards in Austin that get to go to these fun, and we're retro guys, see some of these old movies, and, you know, whether it's Jurassic Park or Karate Kid or Rocky or whatever it is, we're getting our own in Los Angeles. So that's like, between binging and that, what do you think I'm going to do? I'm going to be going out there and going celebrating those movies. So I'd suggest to the listeners, anyone, binge if you want, but mix it up a little bit once in a while. Keep it fresh.
I agree. Don't just sit around watching TV. Listen to podcasts, especially those on the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network.
Yeah, binge this podcast. Yeah. Go back to the old shows.
Yeah, we're almost, as we record this one, this is episode 96. We're almost to 100. Although I would only recommend like picking up at episode like 25 or 30, because the first year was terrible. Don't listen to those. That's like the first season of Friends. It's not good.
Or Breaking Bad.
Yeah. Anyway, what are your thoughts on binge watching? Do you binge? Do you not binge? Do you think people shouldn't binge and should watch one a week? What if you curated your own weekly playlist and created your own network? How does that work? Anyway, give me your thoughts either on Facebook, Positive Cynicism page, or you can find me on Twitter at ChadSmart. But that's going to do it for this edition of Positive Cynicism. Eric will be back in 4 weeks. In the month of July of 2019, which I have dubbed the month of 1999, so we will be examining what this book I'm reading calls the best movie year ever, summer of 1999.
With your favorite overrated movie, The Matrix.
Ooh, I was going to go with Austin Powers 2, but...
Okay, well, we'll get there. We'll talk
about it. I'm trying to get a special guest. Misa won't tell you whose it is, but that could be epic.
Oh.
So anyway, that's going to do it. Eric, do you have any last words? Anything? Anything you want to recommend to binge?
Well, I would say go see The OA if you got an open mind. If not, it might leave you confused and angry. And I'm going to Disneyland for my birthday this weekend. And I'm going to Galaxy's Edge. So I need to brag before we go off the air. All right. And I'm going to be very happy this weekend.
I too am actually going, not with you.
Maybe I'll see you Saturday.
Maybe.
We'll figure it out.
Yeah. So... we'll let you know next month how the Galaxy's Edge is.
Yeah, we'll have a little spiel on it.
Yeah, hopefully there'll be some Jar Jar and some Pogs there. It'll be fun.
Yeah, this is a Jar Jar ride, I've heard.
Awesome. That's gonna do it. Again, other shows here on the Jittery Monkey Network: My 1-2-3 Cents, Nerds United, and Five Heart Podcast. Give them a listen. Rate us on iTunes, podcast, or Stitcher, wherever you listen, and drop me a note on Twitter. Say hi, at ChadSmart. As always, question everything, do something positive.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.